invite you to stand if you are able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the 10th chapter of the book of St. John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I usually pray during the hymn, and it skipped my mind today, so I'm going to actually ask you all to just pray with me for a second. Loving God, I give thanks for the gift of this beautiful day and for this sacred space where we are able to gather as your beloved children to encounter your word and hopefully to have it transform our lives. We ask that your message be preached here and that that message enter the hearts of all of us gathered. Transform us to be the one people that you call us to be, to go out into the world and to share your love with those around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. In my opinion, one of the most timeless movies of all is Wizard of Oz. And I say this, I grew up with special effects. I grew up with movies like The Matrix, where you were able to see the most incredible things ever on a screen. And so starting from there and going back to some of the more classic movies has always been tough for me. There's always something lost in translation. Watching movies like Vertigo or The Birds, it just seemed so wonky to me. The special effects, in my opinion, are just so terrible. But Wizard of Oz, you can watch that today, and it's still a movie that just blows your mind, at least the graphics, even. And one of those pieces of the movie that was so scary as a little child, not the flying monkeys, those are terrifying, by the way, but the actual wizard, right? This big, giant face with all of the smoke and the lights and the thunderous voice. Always kind of a frightening experience watching that as a kid. As an adult today, still seeing that, it still creates some kind of trepidation within me. And of course, the pinnacle of that moment is when little Toto realizes that things are not as they seem. As Dorothy and the Lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow are terrified of this really big, scary wizard, Toto knows that something is up. And Toto goes and pulls back that curtain and finds that controlling this big, giant wizard is a broken little man. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing in this gospel today. We miss that in our own context, but Jesus, in a way, is pulling back a curtain. He is helping his own audience in his time see that things are not always as they seem. He is taking the images that people have in their minds in this time, and he is reorienting them into something completely new. Now again, we miss this completely. Jesus is doing something actually quite scandalous and offensive in this text. And the first thing we don't know is that he is speaking to Pharisees. He is speaking to a bunch of rabbis. He is speaking to a bunch of men who have dedicated themselves to following Torah to its letter and to remain ceremonially clean every day of their life. Everything revolves around those two things, following Torah and remaining ceremonially clean. And then Jesus, who is also a rabbi, who is also supposed to follow these same tenets, comes up to these Pharisees, and the first thing he says is, "I am the good shepherd." Now for us, we hear that and think, oh, that's nice. I'm sure many of you grew up with paintings where Jesus is holding a shepherd's staff, and he's sitting down on a rock, and he's got some really nice fluffy dovey sheep around him, and it's just a beautiful image, right? For Jesus to walk up to these Pharisees and say, "I am the good shepherd," is like me walking up to a germaphobe and saying, "I am the good host. All bacteria come to me. All of it, flock to me, bacteria. Be in me, be on me, let me touch you." That would freak a germaphobe out, right? That is exactly what's happening in this text. Rabbis did not touch livestock. Livestock were dirty. Livestock had bugs. Livestock slept in the dirt. For a rabbi to touch livestock was abhorrent. For Jesus, as a rabbi, to compare himself to a shepherd, someone who lives with livestock, was unheard of. It was scandalous. It was offensive for Jesus to compare himself this way. And he's doing this on purpose. He's doing this because he knows the image that these Pharisees have of what it means to be closest to God. And it wasn't just the Pharisees. It was all Jewish people too. People had this image in their mind that to be closest to God, you had to follow the letter of the law and you had to be clean. That's why shepherds were considered to be some of the people farthest away from God. Because they were always, always dirty. And then Jesus comes along, this guy who says he is the Son of God and he is a shepherd. It's scandalous, a moment where he is taking these images and completely tearing them apart. I mean, when you read these things in context, honestly, it's no wonder that these guys tried to have him killed. He was taking everything sacred to them and completely turning those things on its head. But not only that, in this story, Jesus says that these Pharisees, these men who are clean and follow the law that says you cannot touch livestock as a rabbi, Jesus is saying to them, they're shepherds too. It's not a moment where he's just saying, "I am the good shepherd." He's saying they're shepherds too. But not only that, they're the bad kind of shepherds. Shepherds are already bad, but they're the even worse kind of shepherds. They don't own the sheep. They're the hired hands. He's already offending them by calling himself a shepherd, by calling them a shepherd. But even if you could take some kind of a hierarchical system of shepherds, they're the worst of the worst. They're the hired hands, the ones who don't have property, the ones who will cower and run if the wolf approaches. There are so many levels of this story where Jesus is saying one offensive thing after another. And it really points to who Jesus was in his time and who Jesus is meant to be for us. Jesus is the person who comes into our lives, into all of our order, our systems, everything we set up for ourselves, and then just tears it down. And we don't like that as people. We don't like to have our stuff torn down. But that is exactly what Jesus did throughout his ministry. He walked into these systems, into these places where people had all of these images built up over centuries and centuries of tradition, and he tore them open. He tore these images open, trying over and over again to point people to something within, to that divine image that exists underneath all of it. That divine image that we bury through everything that we build up for ourselves. Jesus is in his time tearing open what it means to be closest to God and to be a member of this religious community in this time. No longer is it necessarily about following the letter of law. No longer is it about trying to remain as ceremonially clean as you can. Once again, he points us back to the divine image of love. Love that even a dirty shepherd could possess. I am the good shepherd who will lay down my life for his sheep. I talk about love probably in every single sermon. Love is always the end point for me. And love always sounds really nice. But we don't reckon how difficult love truly is. And Jesus points to that for us today, because in this context, love is about laying down one's life for another person. Jesus is talking about a love that is so intimate, so connected to the other, that you would give your own life for that person. We experience that kind of love typically with our spouses, with our children, our grandchildren, our family members. But we don't typically experience that kind of love with a random person out on the street. Jesus is tearing open the image of what it means to be closest to God and pointing us to a love that calls us to connect ourselves with the other. Not with our family members, but with the world. Being so intimately connected that you know a person's need, you know what a person is thinking just by being in their presence. I see this in kind of a freaky way with Lydia and her sister quite often. One of the games we play regularly is a game called Balderdash. And this is a game where you get a card and you've got a word that you've got to try to make your partner guess. And there are tag words that you're not allowed to use as you're describing this to them. And it's a tough game. It's like if I pull out this card and the tag word is Princess Bride. Well, I have to make my partner guess Princess Bride. But I'm not allowed to say Fire Swamp. I'm not allowed to say Anybody Want a Peanut. I'm not allowed to say Andre the Giant. And I'm not allowed to say Black Mask. All words that I would use to describe the movie The Princess Bride. And so I have to try to get my partner to say this at some point. Livier and Dominique, when they play this game, though, they will pull this card. Livier might look at it and see The Princess Bride and tell Dominique, oh, this is that one movie that we watched that one time when Sally tripped and fell and spilled the popcorn everywhere. And Dominique instantly, oh, Princess Bride. And that's the entire game. Oh, this was that thing that one time. Oh, boom. So connected. They almost read each other's minds. It's frightening, truly. But it is that same level of connection that Jesus is calling us to experience with everybody outside of this building, outside of this community. And that's tough. And here it is. In a world where we spend so much time working on our own image, in a world where we spend so much time critiquing the image of others, in a world where image for us is everything, even, especially, as Christians, what might this look like for us? What if we took everything we thought it meant to be closest to God, coming to church every Sunday, wearing your Sunday best, believing A, B, and C? What if we took all of that and just removed it? And the only thing we left for ourselves is to love like a good shepherd would love their sheep. What might this look like in your own life? Think about that for a second. Think of all the people you're holding a grudge against. Think of someone that hurt you a long time ago, and you haven't forgotten it. Think of someone you don't know, but they just bother you. What might it look like to just love them? What might it look like in your own personal life with your own personal story to just love others around you? You kind of start to see how hard it is to love the way that Jesus calls us to love. Here's a big one for our context, though, too. What might this look like to just love yourself? We carry around so much within us, so much of our own image that tells us that we're bad or that we are undeserving. What might it look like for you to just simply love yourself? To know that God just simply loves you. Right in the midst of where you are, right in the midst of who you are, right in the midst of everything good and bad that you have ever done in your life, what might it look like to just allow yourself to be loved by God and to know that you deserve it? Again, you kind of start to understand how tough this call to love really is. You know, we might be asking a lot of ourselves. I don't know, this might be a waste of time. And I don't know what this might look like on a grand scale either. To have a church of a bunch of people who just simply love, and that's it. But what I do know is that in those moments in my own life where I can just love someone despite myself, or where I can just love myself despite myself, where there is nothing that exists around that experience but the love in that moment, all I know is that when I do have those experiences in my life, as few as they may be, those are the moments that I feel closest to God. Maybe that's enough. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.